It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I started speaking in a previous study about a comparison of two brides. And this would be a Jewish bride and the bride of Christ. And we look at the ceremony of each one and compare them and see how much they are alike. The first thing I mentioned was there was a first major step in a Jewish marriage, and that was the betrothal. And then we see that in comparison with the bride of Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, 23 and 24 says this, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." And we compared this with the Lord's Supper that the church has when they gather together and they celebrate the Lord's table, and we do that in remembrance of the Lord. We take the bread, we eat the bread, and we take the juice, and we drink the juice. And let me remind you that that juice is not fermented wine. That juice is to be something that is pure, and the purest thing you can get of the juice of the vine is the grape juice itself. We also saw how a bridegroom or representative would travel from the father's house to the home of the prospective bride. That would be speaking, of course, of the Jewish bride. But we see that Jesus left heaven to negotiate a price for his bride. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Jesus Christ left heaven to negotiate a price for his bride. And we also have looked at the fact that the Jewish bridegroom, paid a purchase price, and the marriage covenant was thereby established. Well, Jesus paid the price as well for his bride. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Also, we saw that after the purchase price was paid, the bride was declared set apart exclusively for her bridegroom. Well, we have been set apart as well. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" We're set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. We also saw this. As a symbol of the covenant relationship for the Jewish bride, a cup of wine is shared by groom and bride. Once again, this is in comparison to the Lord's Supper. Now, I remind you that when communion is taken in the proper manner, it is to be done with grape juice. When we look at the fermentation of the wine, it turns to wine, that juice turns to wine. That is a representation of sin, because leaven is a representation of sin. Jesus would never have used anything that represented sin, that was a picture of sin. Jesus said this, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament," or in other words, a new covenant, "in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Just as that Jewish bride and that Jewish husband would partake of the juice, of the wine, so does the people of God partake of communion in remembrance of the Lord. Well, now, something else has taken place about this marriage covenant. After the marriage covenant for the Jewish couple was established, the groom returns home. And after the marriage covenant had been established, the groom would leave the home of the bride and return to the father's house. And there he would remain separate from his bride for a period of 12 months. John chapter 6 and verse 62 says, "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" And then remember that Jesus did ascend up into heaven. He left the earth, according to Acts chapter 1. There's two men standing by, and as the disciples watched Jesus go up, these two men said, "Why stand you here gazing up into the clouds? This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall in like manner come again." But the point is, he went back to the Father, just as the groom of the Jewish bride, now this was the bride-to-be, would go up. The groom would go up or go back to be with his home, his father's home. John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Well, this is something that we need to realize, that Jesus Christ has gone up. He's there with the Father right now, and he's waiting to come back for his bride. Well, notice this. While the groom, this is the Jewish groom now, while the groom, now let me say this, that this is the groom-to-be, and we're talking about the groom-to-be of the bride-to-be of the Jewish people, and we are now waiting for our groom to come back. We're waiting for a marriage. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but notice this, that the while the groom is at the father's house, this is the Jewish groom now, the bride gathers her trousseau. And this period of separation that has taken place, the groom is now back with the father's house. This period of separation afforded the bride time to gather her trousseau and to prepare for married life. Well, I believe the trousseau for the bride of Christ will include such things as her testimony, in other words, the behavior of the bride-to-be, being chaste, in other words, faithful, souls for her heavenly husband. That's part of the trousseau. The bride of Christ should have this testimony. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." We are to be, according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 5 as well, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Well, I believe this is not only speaking to wives in general today, I believe it could also be said of the bride of Christ who waits for Jesus' return, for the bridegroom. Well, souls for the bridegroom. Notice Mark 16 and verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that's what we are to do. As saved people, we are to get our trousseau together. And remember, one of the greatest parts of that trousseau is to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to save anyone, but we give out the plan of salvation. God does the saving through the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. But we're bringing honor and glory to our future bridegroom, to our future husband, as the children of God. Well, remember this, that the groom had returned home. And this, I'm speaking now of the Jewish groom. He had returned home. And while back home, the groom prepared living accommodations for he and his bride. Now the groom, when he was back home, the Jewish bridegroom, while he was home, he occupied himself with the preparation of living accommodations in his father's house, to which he could bring his bride. Notice the comparison with the bride of Christ now. John 14:2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, listen to this now, I go to prepare a place for you. He's gone. He's there with the Father right now, and he's just waiting to come back. But while he's there, he's preparing a place for his bride. Well, at the end of the period of separation for the Jewish couple, the groom would come to take his bride to live with him. Well, the taking of the bride usually took place at night. The groom, the best man, and other male escorts would leave the groom's father's house and conduct a torchlight procession to the home of the bride. And I'm speaking of the Jewish tradition now. Well, the taking of the church would be accomplished by a procession of Christ and an angelic escort from Christ's father from his house in heaven to the home of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." We're going home. We're going to be with our Lord. And notice this. The bride of the Jewish tradition now, the bride expected her groom to come for her, but did not know the time of his return. Well, although the bride was expecting her groom to come for her, she didn't know when. She didn't know when he was coming back. Well, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 talks about a time that some people get mixed up on. It says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Well, this is something that some people say this is pointing to the time when Christ comes back for the bride. I do not believe that. I believe this is speaking of the second coming of the Lord. Let me read it again. Matthew 24 and verse 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Why would I say that? I believe that Matthew 24 is scriptures telling us about the tribulation and at the end of the tribulation when the Lord comes back. But Mark chapter 13 says it as well. Mark 13 verse 32, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Well, the fact of the matter is, the Father is the one who's going to send the Son back. I believe he will say something like this, "Son, it's time to go get your bride. You need to go now and go get your bride and bring her home. Bring her to the place that you've prepared where the bride will be with you forever and forever." And this is something that should make your heart glad as a saved person, knowing that you're going to be with the Lord forever. Well, we, the bride of Christ, wait patiently for our bridegroom. I pray today that you do know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that there's been a time when you said, "Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. I know I'm a sinner because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Lord, I believe your word where it says the wages of sin is death. And I also believe it says where it says, for the gift of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You need to turn to him today and say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin. I can't save myself. You're the only one. You're the only way to heaven. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior right now. I'm sorry for my sin, Lord, and I want you as my Savior. Please come into my heart right now. As best I know how, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.